Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk.
You think I wouldn't have him unless I could have him by the balls? You think I'd just dish it out? You don't think I'd take it at all? You think I am stronger? You think I walk taller than the rest? You think I'm usually wearing the pants just because I rarely wear a dress? My anger and ride and ride and ride. You think I stand so firm? You think I sit so high on my trusty steed? Well, let me tell you, I'm usually face down on the ground when there's a stampede.
And welcome to Here Be Monsters, the Consciousness Shift Hour or so. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I am here with Gwendolyn Holden Barry. And today we are going to be talking about talking to your guides and how to get there and hear the most out of your meditation and searching. Great song, Gwen. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
She always hits them right where you need to hit them. Really good.
Been that kind of week, Bo.
Has it?
Ah, well, you know what they say.
Roll with it.
Do you want
roll
me to
with
stay
it.
With
it?
Yeah. Well, what they say is, if you can't safely crawl in the cupboard and hide out, you just better get out there and do it.
That's good. I like that for today. Really. Because we all know when you want to really crawl in there, or when you're just kind of crawling in there because you're being some sort of schmo with yourself, right? You'd really be happier out.
Well, that's true, and it really requires a certain sort of strength of character to carry on after all it does, and being the on the side host tonight, you know, sort of over here listening back, but chiming in. I have to thank the host Nicole Tomasini for being the one to kick my ass out.
I can do that sometimes. My airy self.
Well, you know.
Okay.
I think it's that whether, you know, it's the first month of the year, and so business-wise, people are sort of going, oh, my God, let me get through this month if I can, please. Heard that a lot in the last week and a half. Maybe it's been 2 weeks. Seeing a lot of, little projects you do, I found myself, I was making medicine bags and working on creating, you know, just being creative. But you have to have heart to be creative, don't you?
Yeah. And you have to use your heart to be creative.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's how I'm hearing my guides right now. I think it's always the way I hear my guides because that's what I do. I think you do too. We're creative people. That's how we make our living. And we're very much in our own stead. We fill our own boots. Nobody fills them up for us. We have to make it or break it.
Yeah. You make the outline. I was just talking about that with a good friend of mine about the creativity and how this, I was saying that this first few weeks of this year, I feel like the energy is so different. And, of course, I have to ask myself, well, is it really different or is it because I feel like it's supposed to be different in 2012? But I'll tell you why I don't think it's in my head. Because the energy that I'm feeling now, I never felt before. And unless I've come up with some sort of newfound energy, you know, in my own that I'm making up, but I think, you know, if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. You can't really make that up. So
no, and there's the proof of said energy is in the demonstration. Have things changed? I think
absolutely.
They have, personally. I mean, I can't help but think that, look what's going on out there. Yes, first of all, yes. Although I will say this. Last week, there was a funeral at the local Occupy group, an older gentleman who gave a lot to the group as far as spirit and steadfast quality of purpose. An older, you know, I can't tell you how old he truly was, but he was an older gentleman. And he crossed over, and so the whole Occupy group, of course, went over to his funeral, which really filled up the Calgary church. The thing is that people were saying, look what's happening. We're all sort of, you know, we've got a revolution on hold. Well, that's not true either. There's been a lot of action this week. There's the other part about it, too. People were spiritual in this whole thing. And I think that the whole Occupy movement is one that has its steadfast spiritual identity to it. If you asked me to describe it, I'd have to say, you know, look at them out there. They've actually changed the name of the POC faction of Oakland, Occupy Oakland, to decolonize Oakland. And that's a very spiritually anchored group out there of people who are primarily indigenous, what we call an indigenous group, or First Americans. They're Indians, okay? And they're saying, listen, this is part of the cause we're in. We're all together in this, white, red, yellow, whatever. However, we're saying these are sacred lands, and we knew first how to take care of them. We feel we need to be recognized for that, and we can step up to that plate. By golly, they can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of spiritual identity to the OWLS movement. All of those people in, I'll tell you what's spiritual. You watch a week and a half ago, there was a spokes meeting of Occupy Wall Street that Michael Moore snuck into again at the back and listened to, and they asked him to speak when they were done with their meeting, and he's like, well, no, now, I just come here to, he's coming there to look in on it because he, and he's doing this all over the country. He made his way down for Occupy Congress to D.C. He goes, he sneaks in the back door, if you will, and sits and observes the meeting. Of course, people recognize him and see him there and smile and stuff, but they go back to their meeting. And at the end of the spokes meeting, they asked him to speak, and he was reluctant, and then finally he did. And you know what? The guy is the standard of a spirit of community and care and what we need to be with one another once again and haven't been for maybe thousands of years. I don't know, but I know Michael Moore's got it hooked in. And he says, you know, what you're doing is fabulous, and I'm just here to make sure. He comes real close to saying, I'm just here to make sure you don't quit on me.
Yeah, well, obviously, his whole driving force with, I mean, think what you will about his movies or his point of view, but the guy does get out there and do it and gets it done, and in many different circles, and he does the legwork. You know, he's a big man, and obviously
yeah.
this is his passion, and you're right, he does embody that whole idea of, you know, this is
think
all
of those
our
drummers.
Mm-hmm.
Think of those drummers who had such a problem with, you know, the main groups for a while because they couldn't drum all the time. But those drummers feed and bring an energy down. And I tell you, that's primitive energy. That's mother serpent energy if you're standing down in Belize or down in the Yucatan. You know, that's very
nice,
very mother serpent energy. But it's very mm-hmm. basic. When I'm around drumming myself, when I'm in drumming circles or around drumming, my guides are extraordinarily attuned to it, and it takes me out of my body, and I can only do, you know, I'm very careful where I go to drumming circles, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Standing in front of them, the few times I went over there when they were still in the park, you know, when that drumming is going, it doesn't matter, and they had different people come up and play like saxophone or like guitar, but the drumming just continued, and whoever did it, whatever they did on top of it, and yeah, you definitely feel a whole vibration coming through the earth.
It's true, and there's a whole other spirit here too, because this is a spirit that's tangible amongst people who have said enough is enough, and they also have a sense of destiny, and they have a sense of we're doing something that's right. That spirit of doing something that is right and that spirit of destiny that really anchors itself into the groups. I mean, I know a lot of atheists, and they have a spirit they bring to it. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Sure.
They're saying, you know, we're accepting of these drummers over here who half of them are ayahuasca and out shaman. And then they've got the other group over there that are decolonizing first peoples who are, you know, using drums to call spirit, and they're smudging their way through and cleansing and making sacred and holy the way before the people who are walking down to close the ports down. Yes, there's spirit in this community.
Mm-hmm. And hallelujah. Isn't it about time?
Hallelujah, honey. She kicked me out of bed.
Sort of
an amen. Oh, my God. And the spirits in the left-leaning woods of Michigan have showed up in the chat room, too. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
But yeah, there's spirit, right?
Absolutely. And that's actually the perfect segue, because one of the things, before I talk about the meditation and the bath, is, you know, I've started singing again, and I can feel why I love it so much, because I ask myself why I've been drawn to this so strongly. Like, you know, there's one thing to like singing, but I do it all the time, and you pointed out that it is a form of meditation, and you do get a certain vibration going. And
oh, it's really important. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
to sing.
And
it really is. It not only opens your throat chakra, but it opens your creative nature when you use your voice like that. When you sing, even if you're just singing with your music at the house or whatever, singing is a personal vortex. And people who have the gentle or the outrageous spirit enough to stand, you know, or sit in front of a group of people and entertain, you've seen the auric field around entertainers, yeah? Not just because you're on the stage with them, honey. When you're standing down and you're looking over at them, you've seen the auric field that an entertainer puts out. They're fed by the audience. The audience feeds energy to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And, wow, that's exactly what it feels like, is a personal vortex, because I seem to, sometimes I almost knock myself out, like, with all of the oxygen and feeling. And the best part is when I just tell the story of the song the way I like to sing it. And
mm-hmm.
that's when it sounds the best, and that's when I go into some other world. I mean, we sing Space Oddity by David Bowie, and I love singing that song because I literally feel like I go to space with him for the 3.5 minutes I'm singing the song. So
you get taken away, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, to me, is one of the most important things for meditation, is to be able to just go into that moment, whatever it is, when you forget about you're somewhere, and that's it, all that matters. So
you know, there's the group, you know, when there's a really great entertainer that everybody is, or songster or troubadour, if you will, that is telling the story with music in front of you and creating that vortex for everybody in the whole situation. So you can align that very much to successful Occupy meetings, or and you can feel the shift of consciousness around you. The thing that's going on right now, and you correct me if I'm wrong, or if you see me wrong in this, but I think that the consciousness is shifting for people who are awakening to what's going on with protest right now in this country, and the protesters and demonstrators themselves. We call them occupiers, but you know, there's people involved in little protests. I mean, there are students on campuses that do not call themselves occupiers, but they're protesting and they're demonstrating more and more. Geez, do you remember when it all used to come out of the college campuses?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course you don't.
No, but there are movies. There are movies. Just because I wasn't there doesn't mean.
I feel like I just dove into the glistening pool and shattered the glass of illusion or something. Wow, where'd that crap come from? You know, I'm old, honey. I'm very old. You know, I'm not really that old.
No, you're really not. But you tell yourself what you want.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it has been a crazy week. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How are entertainers and songsters like yourself, how are you all experience, did you experience this week the online, the PIPA and the SOPA demonstrations or protests? They were all online, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But did it affect your business? Did it affect the way you were doing anything?
No. I mean, we're still in the we're about to make our trip down, so you know, no. I guess the answer is no. Because we're not really out there.
There was no kind of publicity or anything that got put off or anything. But it was only one day, but it sure as heck shifted everything else in the Washington area. Everybody's backpedaling on it really big time now. Because,
wow.
You know, it's the entertainment industry that has been lobbying for this.
Yeah. No.
The corporate entertainment industry, not the artisan, but the corporate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which makes
we're not
wonder,
really at that stage.
What are the artists?
Yeah.
What about the artists?
Huh?
You know, we've seen a few. We've seen folks like Baez and we've seen, David and Graham from the Four, and we've seen Jackson Browne. We've seen a lot of artists align themselves and go and join for a day or a week, whatever, with Occupy and align themselves to Occupy. But we haven't seen that many actors or people who use this. Like Warren Beatty was all over McGovern. You know what I'm saying? Anti-war, Gene Fonda. Where are the voices? I keep wondering about that. Do you?
I always think if I don't hear about it, I always just assume that they're out there doing something in their own way, even if it's just discussions. I find, you know, just word of mouth, you know, that's how people and things catch on and become huge. It's just one person tells five people, they tell 15, and then it's like the best advertising. So I feel like, you know, maybe there's also underground things that are just taking some time to sprout. I think that as well. And also I think everyone's kind of feeling this out. I think they're, like, watching to see, like, where the next move is going to come from, and then they have their ideas, and it goes one way or the other. But I feel like it's definitely going to be, like, a culmination of at least the preliminaries by, like, the fifth or sixth month of this year. I feel like something is going to be quite
a few
things.
You think there's a bang coming?
Yeah, I think there's a few bangs coming,
actually.
Yeah.
Everybody's feeling that one. It's like spring is going to be sprung like nobody's business.
Like
so
nobody's
you,
business.
You were talking about, I know that you wanted to speak this evening primarily about relating how you yourself have
gotten to the guy.
I'm reading the dying chat room there. How you have been able to connect with your guides, what the steps you took were that gave you a tangible grasp of your guidance outside of yourself, the guides or the angels. I always have to go through all of the different when I'm doing a class or a workshop, I always have to go through, you know, guide, angel, ancestor, and explain all the different, because people have very different ways of talking, you know, the spirit in the room type of thing.
Yeah. Well, and they also have different energies when they come through, and that also was a little bit confusing in the beginning. And the best thing I could do, because in my experience, ancestors feel different from guides, feel different from, like, alien sort of whatever transmissions or things that I realized one of the best things to do is to not worry so much about, oh, why is this energy different, or what is this such and such entity's name, or getting confused by that for too long, you know? that was really helpful for me to just go, okay, well, you talk funny and you feel different. And I finally
and
go,
I finally
myself,
go
into
myself
it.
Into it.
Oh, there was a big echo right there.
Big echo right there.
Oh,
wait,
I'm sorry.
Wait, it's still there.
Is it me?
I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
it's better.
No, it's not.
Hold on.
Hold on. I like that.
Is it okay now?
Let me see. Yes. No.
Okay.
Now it's like a really long pause in between.
It's so weird to hear your voice coming back.
Can you fix something?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. Better now?
Are you using a headpiece?
Oh, I am.
Okay, yes. Much better. It's gone. Yay.
Okay. technical difficulties, folks. Stand by, please. We will have momentary pause while we play with our phones and jerk around on the keyboard.
Of course.
This is what Diane G calls, I think she calls it kitchen table productions. And by the way, she's cooking and listening, so perhaps she'll send us some brownies just to make sure they get the good stuff.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh gosh.
So anyway, I was
hearing what you were saying. You know, one of the most wonderful teachers to give folks a great idea of how they can tap in and listen to the guidance of those guides that come to that are with us in life, where the majority of people do not understand that we do have guidance, but they do know that basically they're getting, you know, their angels are looking out for them. There's all kinds of scenarios to affix to this, but here's the thing. There's a wonderful little paperback book that was written by a man named Ted Andrews, a very prolific writer about things spiritual and culturally within Celt or Native American, about the fairy realm. And this guy, wonderful, wonderful teacher and a very good friend. He crossed a couple of years ago as a young man, too. But Ted wrote this wonderful book that is, you know, you can get it for under $8 now. I think it's $7, and it's called How to Meet and Work with Your Spirit Guides. And there's some really, really wonderful little clues that he gives you at the very beginning that helps people get on their way with actually figuring out how to confirm that they really do have, you know, there's several things that that happen, like the goose walking over your grave, you know, the hair raising on the back of your neck. Do you ignore that when that happens, Nick?
No, I always notice it, and I notice that one of the byproducts of spending so much time in the bath with my guides, I see that the signs around me, even just the things that my eyes are pulled to, like billboards when we go by a subway stop, they all coincide with either questions or reaffirmations that I'm looking for. And
now you're talking road medicine now.
Road medicine?
What's that? Well, it's like I was taught by my Native American teachers, you know, to walk out. The first thing I see when I walk out my door, the first animal, I usually pay attention to the animals, the birds, insects, whatever animal. If an angry woman is walking down my street talking to herself, I say, there's your big indicator today. Right off the bat, boys.
Yeah, well,
you know,
well, it's funny you say that, because I took the subway to Brooklyn today, and changing trains in Brooklyn, I saw a team, like 6 to 8 popos, the police officers.
Popos.
With a big canine dog, like looking like some sort of troop, also kind of a little music video-ish. But they definitely, I like felt the vibe. I was like, whoa, man,
oh,
what's going on
God,
over
you
here?
Didn't have a joint on you, did you?
I know. Actually, I had a moment of, oh, right? I was like, what is that dog? Oh, he's probably snuffing for bombs. Okay, it's fine.
Oh, that's right. You're in New York. Okay, you got,
yeah.
For me, it would definitely be a, oh, geez, I shouldn't have brought that roach.
Uh-huh. Wow, right. Well, believe me, I always think about it because good Lord out here, you know. But anyway, but I thought, well, interesting. Isn't that interesting? And
it all does.
Well, a lot of it right now, I see I'm being shown these little pockets of fear and what could shake my my stillness. And so, like, walking by them and having that moment of, and then I was like, Nicole, just, what is that? And I was like, oh, okay, I see. So you can walk by the bomb squad and not really, you know, and be cool with it. You see it. It's fine. Keep it moving, you know?
Well, it gives you, it does matter. I did actually wake up yesterday. I went out to pull the, you know, we have the recycle bins yesterday, and I went to take it down out of the gate on the side down to the curb. And there was this African-American woman, very excited, very upset, talking to herself, walking down the sidewalk on the other side of the street with her arms going willy-nilly. And I looked down and, you know, because I was looking at her and I was wheeling this thing down. And then all of a sudden I looked down on the top of the trash can, and there was a mini iguana there and looking at me with the fan neck going down and back like, thanks for the ride, dude. Jesus Christ, I screamed. I screamed and jumped up a little. We all know these days that's a feat. And the lady walking down the street stopped, turned around, looked at me like I had just shot at her. You know, I was like, okay, we're in it today. Oh, my God.
What a wacky moment.
I sat down with my coffee about 20 minutes later. This was all before coffee. I sat down with my coffee about 20 minutes later going, what does that indicate, you know?
Right.
Crazy person of color walking down the street, arms waving. I'm looking at her, you know, okay. So basically that's how I take myself out of myself when I get and see in what it indicates symbolically, medicine-wise. You know, that iguana was telling me that I hadn't paid attention to the dreams I had the night before, too. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down and I thought about everything and then came to the understanding that the lizard and the dreams and the quality of dreams coming into my reality, it was like, whoa, dude. Of course, then I realized it was time to wake and bake.
You're like, hello.
Well, it's been that kind of month. We were talking about, you know, getting into the new year, and it seems strange because we've put so much in our community. We've put so much into this year and all of the, you know, very very real astrological and magnetic occurrences that will be going on throughout the whole year. We've got another year filled with eclipses, you know? That's like shutting the engines off and starting them back up all the time. On solar and lunar energy. I mean, it's like, alrighty then. it's like taking the moat out, and it goes dead right before vortex opening on the ocean, okay? And you haven't got that engine to put in reverse. You have to keep, you know, I'm being dramatic, of course, but it's really quite true.
Well, it is true, and I think it's all about learning. For me, it's been learning how to surf it. Just, all right, here's a big wave. Here's this other thing. The different vibrations, it all feels like surfing to me, even though I've never surfed, but I always felt like I should be a surfer, but I have no desire to surf. But I see now it's surfing in the consciousness, really, because that really does help, that imagery. You know, of being the silver surfer.
Well, I that's the only thing. That's the only sport I'll watch. I can sit down and I'll watch and watch and watch, and people have to come and get me. I'll watch surfing as long as it's on the channel. You know, I might go to the ladies' room, but that's about it. I'll just come back. Wait a minute. It's because it mellows me out.
Yeah,
it's a form of meditation I used to do. I mean, for several years of my life, I used to wake up in the morning, run down to the boat, get the board in the boat, take the boat around the inlet and beat CSOB and just paddle on out there. And that was long before hammerheads were declared off limits, too. We have hammerheads here in South Florida along the shore. In the winter, they school. You know, they say sharks don't, but they do. A school, and they go on down to the end of the Keys because that's their mating grounds down there.
Wow.
So we always have them around. It's become a topic recently about sharks.
Wow.
But anyways, sharks are another animal of a kind, and I've never been able to figure out what their specific quality, you know, medicine, as it were, is that it imparts to us. Well, and every surfer has to have a little shark medicine because we're afraid of them, or because we try to, you know, we try to get along with them. You know, it's like cedar, floating.
You know, if I were to think of what shark medicine would be, I would say it's something of a focus or a concentration along with a deadly patience in a way. Like, you know, they have that sharpness and that, you know, constant forward gaze, I think.
Yes, they don't, basically, they don't, it's not even as if they had knees that could bend. They keep going. They really do keep going. But that's the way I was taught to divine the day. And, you know, as strange as it may seem, even when I was working for corporate in Boston, I would get up in the morning and commute in, by train from, you know, below Boston, south of Boston, into town. And it's just my training. I always notice what those little indicators are. And there's no way that you can really tell anyone what the events or incidents or actions will be that they pay attention to will actually unfold before them when they define them. That they will unfold before them further into the day, and really divine what is coming your way, what is there that you're not seeing that's going to reveal itself to you. Am I being clear here?
Absolutely, because that's exactly what I
do. Shamanism.
That meditation is, you know, I usually end up in the bath around the evening time, but sometimes during the day. And that, I go in either with a specific question that I feel needs to be answered or like I said before, with a certain vibration using one of your oils or especially the chakras or the goddesses, whoever. But when I go in and I ask a specific question, and I hear whoever talks. So I'll tell you now that I learned, you taught me about the council up there, like going up into the round table. And I've been using that a lot. When my father passed, actually, he, it seems, showed me where it was. And to me, I picture myself in space. I think of my bathtub as sort of a personal spaceship, but just as glass. So it's always from my point of view, and I picture the void in front of me. And either I go somewhere or not, but sometimes when I just go into the consciousness, I go up into that place, and it was a dance in the beginning of getting myself to be in one of the chairs, because I saw a lot of chairs, I think there was about 13, and the table or something in the middle. And sometimes the chairs are filled, sometimes there are a few that are filled. Sometimes there's no one in the chair, but you feel the energy is still there. That happens to me. But I go up there, and I just listen to who's going to talk. And whoever talks, and again, it takes a little bit of practice in the beginning, but whoever's talking, I do my best to stay out of their way and not put words into their mouth and really listen to the vibration of it and toy with it, say, okay, well, is this how strong of a good feeling or a bad feeling, or what is it deciphering? But I think if you just follow your instincts, you do know what's coming from the strongest point or source. And I don't always understand the message right there, but I don't ever leave without feeling some sort of satisfaction, like the answers are in there somewhere. And
so you allow whatever is being said to unfold. You just allow yourself to journey into it. You don't take any sort of creative imagery action.
Creative imagery action, you mean seeing things happen?
No.
Putting my own
You don't ask questions.
Mm.
You don't ask questions.
Of what the source is, you mean? I do ask questions.
Okay.
I do probe at it, and sometimes, actually, this is a good segue, because sometimes it's a familiar energy, and I can tell it's coming from a guide that I've met before, or one of, like, Archangel Michael. I know his signature very, very well, but sometimes it's somebody else, like that Bashar came through. I didn't know who he was, you know, finally, I asked for a face because the voice and the energy signature always sounded the same, and it was so odd. It was, like, so unlike any, like, you know, I have this kind of gay black man guy, Tay-Tay, and you can always know when it's him, you know. I mean, he's just, he's, like, in there. And then,
you get gay black guides, and I get clickers, guys that just click. I think there's something out of whack here. I mean,
what's a clicker, guys, that click?
Well, I found out it took like 8 years before I figured out who they were, but they're from the Dogon culture in Africa.
Right?
They're Syrians, but it took a long time. They just show up there in the periphery, and they're clicking, and they're always clicking this and that, and I just figure I'm getting the information. Can we pause for a moment, for 2 minutes?
Absolutely.
For a commercial? Okay.
Yes,
just one thing. Okay. And now from our sponsors.
This is a little ditty, the beginning of the book Perfume. In 18th century France, there lived a man who was one of the most gifted and abominable personages in an era that knew no lack of gifted and abominable personages. His name was Jean-Baptiste Grenier. And if his name, in contrast to the names of other gifted abominations, de Sades, for instance, or Saint-Just Fouché's, or Bonaparte's, etc., have been forgotten today, it is certainly not because Grenier fell short of those more famous blackguards when it came to arrogance, misanthropy, immorality, or more succinctly, to wickedness, but because his gifts and his soul ambition were restricted to a domain that leaves no traces in history, to the fleeting realm of scent. And my friends, the fleeting realm of scent is exactly what'll take you in a touchstone, tangibly, back through your own histories. It's a journeying tool that has no surpassing. So remember, Daughters of Isis is sponsoring Friday Mic Check on Here Be Monsters, and it's the ancestor aromacology filled with tools of scent to open those doorways within where you might find some surprising results and explore evolution on your own terms. Hey, that was the book Perfume, by the way.
Okay, that was a little commercial for Daughters of Isis. We're experimenting with a few, and a commercial for tomorrow's mic check with Here Be Monsters, and tomorrow's guest is Sharif Voigtland. She's going to come on, and she and Drew are on their way to NOLA tomorrow for an Occupy event down in New Orleans, but she will be coming on to speak about the XL pipeline decision out of Washington, or the White House more succinctly today. Thank you, Nick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I read the first paragraph of the book Perfume, which the guys gave me from when they were down. And it's really quite a read. They made a movie out of it. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jean-Baptiste Grenier, the guy who distilled people for scent. You know, let's go a little further than Blenderwood. Those tools, the tool of scent and taste, which are intimately gathered together. But scent, I mean, you can be walking down the street and you'll smell something and it'll take you away. It'll bring you to a memory, just a sentient quality that, you know, you can tap right on into that. No other, you can't formulate a drug that'll do that, even though drugs are plants too. Well, most of them these days are not. They're synthesized from plant engineering. Did I say that right?
You sure did, actually. Perfectly.
Oh, goodness.
Well done.
I was talking, but you know, you're really sort of super ahead of a lot of people. With your meditation, your ability to listen and tap into your guides. You do a really excellent job, and I like what you share. I think it's important to realize, too, that people who are just beginning, there's little clues that you get. And I'm sure that when you use your bathtub and you have the sensation and the kinetic quality of water to work with, you know, people, you know what a foot bath is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people put their feet in water like that and just sit back and relax. Do you know you can really get some really livid, lucid dreams if you fall asleep with your feet in warm water?
Mm. Sure, I can imagine.
It was an old trick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Not just,
and
you put the hand in the water to make people pee.
I know. I thought of that. Like, not that, the feet. Don't, you're right. don't trick yourself.
I knew where you, I knew which, where she was going.
Of course. Right? Cosmic comedian, right? I'm like, but I was going to say, with the water and with your oils, I mean, that really, you know, I also, if I feel a little off or a little not quite centered during the day, you know, I have my go-to scents that, you know, will snap you right back up. And I know you, with a little time and energy spent on it, you do start to see which scents are going to take you where and when you need to use what. Like Hathor, now I understand her as being the almighty mother, and I do say almighty mother. I mean, she's got that full mother energy, but yet you do feel the power of the universe behind her as well. Like, she's no slouch. So, I was just going to say, the end of it is that, you know, I go to her when I need a little, you know, come on, let's get past yourself, but in a nice, really loving, comfortable, peaceful space. That's when I use that one.
Ah, okay.
That's a good way. That's a good way to, well, she's a beneficent protector, too. She, yes. First of all, she's your guide because she takes care of the actors, too. But she's also the gracious lady who will protect women who are not being treated well by their husbands and such, or anything like that. She's also a protector of abused women. She's also the dancer, the entertainer, you know, the sistren, and she brings your focus away from your. She lightens your load through the gifts that entertainers use, you know, to lighten our loads and to bring our minds into a place where we're lifted, you know.
Mm. Absolutely, it's funny. I didn't even know that, and it is fitting for me. But not knowing that, I still get that exact same energy because she does have that mother. But also, it's feel like she allows me also to just talk to myself. I tend to, there's less judgment. It gives a real, you're literally sitting in a pool of positivity and strength. So you're just, it's easier to be truthful with yourself. It's true.
You know, that's a very important thing to do. I don't think people understand. I don't think the majority of us, of folks, understand how important it is to... I mean, that's how when I was living in Boston, people in my house would think, Quentin, you're talking to herself. She's fucking nuts, you know. Well, no, I was talking to my guides. But you do have to, it's like talking to yourself, yes. But you do have to reach out to your guides and begin a conversation with them. It's much like prayer. And prayer, you know, is only good psychology. You follow where I'm going with that?
Absolutely.
It's a healing method. Prayers are a healing method. Any good teacher will tell you that. You know, the prayer smoke that you send up the smoke doesn't go with just thought forms. It goes with your words. That's why often prayers are sung, you know? Because
and that's another
important. Yeah.
That's another mode that I use. If there's something also that, you know, I want to dissipate from my life, I would prefer not to have that energy around me or whatever it is. And I put my prayer out, and I know that my feeling about it is important. So to carry my message farther. So I, during the prayer, it's like I make it known if anybody has anything they need to chime in on.
like if I'm asking something and I need to correct, you know, my energy on that, you know, go ahead and tune in on it. So it ends up being sort of like a roundtable discussion. It's like I just sort of hear things, and it's not really important, like who's saying what, but and I'll start to fix myself, and I'll answer back. And then after I give the whole prayer, you know, of what I'm looking for, I stop and I listen to see what the energy is around it. If it feels like it's accepted, and if it's gonna, you know, how it's gonna play out. I guess I sort of look for a little. Okay, so give me a clue as to how or when or what, you know, how it's going to be answered. And
I hear you.
And
yeah.
You know. And
yeah,
and the last.
It's,
yeah, go ahead.
It's a part of. I think that you've hit on something here. It's a big, huge part of the process. It's like we were talking earlier about opening the throat chakra and singing with songs. When you are getting in touch with your guides, it's important to vocalize what you're saying, to sit and talk. Now, my roommate, he's used to hearing me read scripts I prepare myself now for the radio shows. I do that. I'll type out a script and maybe the day before, the morning of, or whatever, I'll read it out loud. But when I'm in my room, you know, I talk to my guides. and so I think perhaps my roommate, if he hears it, he must think, you know, oh, she's reading a script or whatever. He doesn't pay attention. But I'm one of those people that I suppose I'm from. For many years of my life, folks have wondered what the hell was up with me, because I do, I guess, talk to myself from their point of view. I'm talking to my guides, so, and it's important. I never think people are weird or wacky because they're talking to themselves.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most normal things you can do.
Well, I mean, including the lady who was talking to herself and obviously angry. She might have been using
working it out.
Her own, yes, her own system of working it out. It was very strange. She did look at me though, like she could give me a whack on the head.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she was in a whack on the head motion and her eyes turned towards you. You never know.
Yeah. It was a little bit crazy seeing that, you know, looking down and seeing that little iguana there and then go, and it was so close to me, and it was just sitting there, you know, like, lady, I'm looking at you. And then I'm like, holy shit, and the lady across the street, you know, arms swinging, walking down the street, mad and angry and talking to herself, and then she hears me scream, and she's like, she stops and looks over. You can imagine what I divined from all of those.
Like you both freaked yourself out. That's hilarious.
So I guess we've come to the conclusion of a show. My goodness, there is Pinko the Bear. Say hello to Pinko the Bear.
Hello, Pinko the Bear. I've heard much about you, and I've heard some of your show, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
You've got to do Pinko if you're up late at night, or even in the morning with coffee. You got to do Pinko because he can make a big difference in your day.
Mm-hmm.
He always makes me laugh. He always.
Yeah.
Are we concluding here, or is there more for us this evening, Darla?
Well, I guess the one other thing that I would say is, and it does link, you know, with your oils, but it's just the way it is, that getting into the different chakras of my, using those is definitely a different, you gotta do Pinko, love that. Yeah, that's funny, he's right.
You gotta do Pinko.
I say that every Friday on mic check. He's the last of the crowd, and I always say, and you got to do Pinko.
Yeah.
He really is good. Next week you're going to be on the road, right? Let's give folks a...
Not yet.
Oh.
One more week, and then we'll see,
Well, next week we could come in and talk about a quick show of awakening the chakras and going through meditation on that. And also, something very important, I think we should talk about the solutions to aligning and awakening the bodies of consciousness, which, the emotional, the astral, the mental bodies, and the causal body, and that is the light body quote, and talk about the dynamic of chi energy and how it flows through that and the meridians, the nadi, down in through the meridians and into the vital organs of the body, and also aligns the chakras. The chakras are actually the lens is transducing that energy. So we can go there next week and talk about that. And okay, we will do. I want to remind everybody that, wait a minute. You're the one with the show tonight. You remind everybody of the I Love Nicole show.
Yes, well, coming soon is episode 2 of the I Love Nicole show. It is going to be between a half hour and an hour of good conversation. With the last show, we go from anywhere from communism to awkward moments on the subway to the absolute north shifting 40 miles. So, you know, it's quite a ride. And it's going to be coming on YouTube and on iTunes, hopefully in the next couple weeks. So we'll keep you posted.
There you go, the I Love Nicole show. And, I plug you on Friday Mic Check and the Sunday show.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. I do want to remind folks, if they're going to listen this evening in archive, and those folks who are listening in, that tomorrow we do have the Occupy Indie Blog Talk block tomorrow beginning at 4 p.m. with myself, Mic Check, and followed by Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain This Week. And then, of course, there's a 6 o'clock anchor, which is Diane G. with the Wild Wild Left from the Wildly Left Woods of Michigan. And after them is, after Diane is Ruthann and Brian via Chicago and Fort Lauderdale with Progress Towards Democracy. And, of course, we wind up tomorrow with the Pinko the Bear Show, all the way from the biggest little city in the West. I guess that's Reno. My absolute favorite gambling town is Reno. It's because I've won the best there. That's really quite true. He's on Pacific time, straight up at midnight. It's a little late for us on this end of the world, but it's worthwhile. And if you can't catch him live, which is that's a treat. You can also catch him in the archive, and he's definitely worth catching. He's my mentor.
Right.
I like to emulate him. Now, who said that? What movie is that? Somebody said it.
That's good. I like to emulate him.
Oh, he's good. He does stream of consciousness like nobody's business, I swear to God.
Right.
Woot, woot. So, what would you like me to play for you? Since I'm on the board.
Something good.
Something good? Something that's saying, Papa, I've got something. Okay,
yeah.
Folks, we're gonna play off. Don't Imala. Oh, I wouldn't do that, darling. No.
Ain't no food.
And I wouldn't immolate you. Or imitate you. Okay, so our very greatest thank yous to Pinko the Bear for providing us with some inspiration here. And that's all for the consciousness shift this evening on Here Be Monsters. And we're going to play off. We'll be back next Thursday evening. And we're going to play off a little bit of something to say ta-ta for now.
Very good. Thank you.
It's good stuff.
Back up all my cares.
Nice.
You know.
Perfect.
Yay. Bye-bye. Don't you feel as though somebody ought to chime in here with a pick-me-up kind of commercial for some sort of Geritol or something?
Well, the way it always seems to go.
Oh, my goodness. Ain't she flying low with that blackbird there?
Oh, she soars on those notes like a hawk.
No one loves or understands me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for listening to us this evening. This has been The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini in New York City and Gwendolyn Berry in Lake Worth, Florida. I'm just across the beach from Palm Beach. And please remember this evening, if you're awake, to go on and listen to Pinko the Bear on Blog Talk Radio, straight up midnight in the West. I think it's 3 a.m. our time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to say goodnight to the blackbirds and everything else right now. How about it, Nick? We gone?
Yep, absolutely. Have a good night, everyone. Good night, Pinko. Good night, Gwen.
Good night, Pink of the Bear. Good night, Nick.